Yeah, but it's great to be here with you. Ray Repo and I have been in touch for a number of years, and I first met him on the missions committee a few years ago. It was a great meeting. I love your heart, guys, for mission in this church. And then also about a year and a half ago, I had a privilege to share at the Women's Mission Fellowship. And now I'm happy to be here with all of you and to open scriptures together and to also share how they are played out in the work of God that I am part of. I'm delighted that my wife Laura is here with us. She's not here right now, but she had to run away because our twins Jacob and Luke are in the nursery and it's their first time there. So something must have happened. I'm sure it's not serious. But she had to step out, but she'll be here soon. I also have brought some friends today as well, which I'm really excited about. They're friends, neighbors, as well as teammates, and I will introduce them in the course of my message. Some of you know them. Actually, some of them you know probably well. Some of them are new, so stay tuned, okay? And probably many of you have guessed by now that my name and my accent is not really from around here, right? So to tell you a little bit about myself, I was born and raised in Kazakhstan. Does anybody know where Kazakhstan is? Have you heard about Kazakhstan? Oh, great. Great. Which continent is it on? Asia. Great. It's right kind of in the middle of Asia if you look on the map. And it's actually pretty big. It's the size of Western Europe, but a lot of people just don't know that. But it's mostly uninhabitable, but I lived in a place that was inhabitable, so I'm happy. And when I was 20 years old, my family immigrated to Canada. God hasn't really been part of our family life. But when I was in my first year at university in Kazakhstan, I met some Christians on campus. And their lives spoke louder than their message. And I hope it's kind of like always like that in our life, where we can, you know, say and speak of the truth of the gospel. But so that our lives can match that. So their lives spoke much louder. And that was really what attracted me. I was really longing for meaning and purpose in my life. And I wanted to have what they had, which was the life of meaning, purpose, and contentment. So my journey with Christ began. When we moved to Canada in 2004, I continued my studies at the University of Toronto, and I was blessed to be involved with Campus for Christ, or what is now called Power to Change, a ministry on campus, very intentional, very dynamic. And after I graduated in 2008, I faced a challenge. On one hand, I was blessed with a great software development job in downtown Toronto. I attended a lively church, living in a pretty affluent suburb of Toronto. But on the other hand, something was lacking in my life as far as God's work was concerned. I missed this intimate and focused community that has also looked beyond itself to share the good news with others. But in early 2009, I heard of a simple yet powerful way to know and to serve God in the ways that I felt I was lacking. And it came to me by the name of Move In. And that's just our logo, nothing special. And it really was more of a message than anything. And I'll explain to you what it means. The essence of it is to see regular Christians, like most of us here, regular Christians. We have jobs, or we're students, or we're in between, you know. But we're not in full-time God's work. So we want to see those regular Christians move in and pray in unlikely communities. What we call now the unreached, urban, poor communities. And it was really meant to imitate what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, having left heaven to become one of us. As in John 1:14a, it says, as we traditionally know it, it says that the Word became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. And I think I take it for granted so often, but that's amazing just to ponder it for a little bit. Jesus came all the way from heaven to become one of us. In the Message Bible, it says a little differently. It says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. God came to be with us. Jesus also came to live a simple life of a poor man. That's, I think, something I take for granted often as well. But in 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And lastly, Jesus came to announce this coming of his Father's kingdom. We read one of the verses, but I'll just read it again. In Mark 1:15, Jesus says, the time has come. That was when John the Baptist was arrested. Jesus was, I guess as we know, about 30 years old. So he lived all his life. And this is the first time he really came out in public. He said, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So in the summer of 2009, as part of a small team of regular Christians, two of us were students, one was a business guy. He actually thought of this idea of move in. And it was me. And we moved into my densely populated, broken yet so beautiful community of Teesdale. It's at Victoria Park Station. How many of you heard about this community of Teesdale? I know you guys live there, so don't raise your hands. But yeah, great. Yeah, and Richard, I think, was helping with the slides there. He said that they prayer walked through our neighborhood. I don't know when it was, but it really warms my heart to know that people have gone and prayed because, like many places, but having lived in Teesdale, I know that this community needs prayer and it needs people to be there. And my community is made of many kinds of people, but just to name a few, many people come from Bangladesh, Afghanistan, different parts of Africa, and many other places. And as I said, I'm really excited some of my teammates are here, so I'm going to introduce some of them. I wish that my wife Laura was here, but she's also one of my teammates, as you might guess. And Jacob and Luke are twins. They're 6 months old. They're as equal members of our team as any other member. That's one thing we really value in Move In is kids. They are, as some refer to them, little missionaries, right? And they're so key and so important in the work of the gospel. But I also have here Kate. Can you stand, Kate, and wave your hand? So people can stand up. People can see her. This is Kate. She moved into our neighborhood just about maybe 4 or 5 months ago, together with Catherine, who actually attends here. Catherine, you can stand too. Catherine House. And we also have an honorary member, but I can't see him here. Sam, a good friend of Catherine. Oh, here's Sam over there. Great. Sam over there. And also, I actually was surprised when I came here. I didn't know, but Catherine and Kate brought their friends. Kiana is over there. She doesn't have to stand up if you don't want to. Don't worry about it. But they're same floor neighbors. And also, her little sister Kelsey is in the children's program right now. So really great to be here. You can ask them many questions. We'll be around after in the fellowship hall, and there's some resources you can take. But feel free to grab them and talk to them about their experience. Another two people who were supposed to come here, but they just felt a little sick. But they are a key part of our work. You can see over there the picture of our neighborhood. I love this picture because there's just so much hope there. that God is shining His light, His presence from heaven onto this earth. But He thinks of little people like us and little communities like Teesdale, and He loves them. The two other people that weren't able to be here is Mama Hanan. I know it's kind of sounds maybe weird to you, but she has become a spiritual mother to many of us. She has a daughter of her own. Her name is Sandra. She was supposed to be here again, but again, they weren't able to come. And I will never forget this Tuesday evening in 2009 when four of us, as I mentioned, we were just about to move into our community and we wanted to go and pray. So I wanted to go and pray on the bench in the community, but somehow last minute there was a connection happened. Friend of a friend heard of this woman, Mama Hanan, who lives in our neighborhood, and she responded pretty much that day, and we were able to pray together. She took a lot of risk with us because she's never met us. She's a single mother with one daughter, and it was about 9 o'clock in the evening, and she said, "Okay, you can come and pray in my home. We've never met before." We got to know each other a little bit better, and then we prayed together. And as on our hearts was to live in this community and see what God would have for this community, she was praying on her end about why is she supposed to stay in this community. So we really felt of God that we meant to be together, we meant to be really the small body of Christ in this neighborhood and see what God would do through our presence, through our normal lives. So maybe next time I come, I'll make sure Mama Hanan and Sandra come as well, so we get to meet them. So since that day in May of 2009, we've been praying every week, every Tuesday. And as we pray together as a small community, we ask God to give us opportunities in the course of our daily, normal life to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to love our neighbors, to be their friends, to show them hospitality, although more often than not, we actually receive their hospitality because they end up cooking much better food than we do, except Mama Hanan. She is one of the best cooks I know. So we live this normal life, being part of each other's lives. That's our desire. And the gospel is traveling along these relationship lines to bring hope and transformation into people's lives and their families, most of which have never really met a person who loves and follows Jesus. And from day one, we were asking ourselves a big question. What would your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven look like in our neighborhood? And to remind ourselves of that question, we actually picked a name for ourselves, if we go to the next slide. Malkutha. Does anybody know what it means? Has anybody heard that word before? But it's not as important, actually. But what's important is this is the word, the Aramaic word for kingdom that Jesus used when he was preaching the good news. Amazingly, actually, in the cultures of many, in the languages of many cultures in our neighborhood, their word for kingdom is very similar to that, be it Arabic or Persian or other languages. And even though we're still asking this question, God, what would your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven in our, look like in our neighborhood? There's something that actually is happening, exciting things. As we expect that God would bring people into his kingdom and transform their lives, we desire to join him in this work. A few years back, when we were helping a newly arrived refugee family move in into our community. And it's been a long day of moving, and we were quite tired, but they just wanted to say thank you to us for their help. We met them that day. We didn't know about them before. They haven't met us. They want to say thank you, so they cooked dinner for us and say, please join us for dinner. And we joined for dinner, but like shortly after, we had to leave. And they were a little puzzled, like, why do you have to go so soon? In the culture of that family, hospitality and spending time with each other was really a big thing. But we said, we have prayer meeting to go. It was that same day we were at prayer. And the husband asked us, can I come? And now we were puzzled, like, oh, yeah, you can come. So he came. The enemy wasn't happy about it. But we prayed. To make the story a little shorter, a year or so later, he and his wife were baptized. Actually, not too far from here in Lake Ontario, just in one of the small beaches. Then the enemy wasn't happy at all. And he attacked. And they had to separate. It was very, very painful for them and for many of us. And now the wife and the son are a beautiful part of our community. She's actually one of my heroes. Sorry. They love Jesus and they share him with others of what he has done in their lives in the midst of the suffering and in the midst of lack. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And when we pray, we acknowledge that we don't have it all together. We need God. It is actually in that need that we see him at work. And we have witnessed many others touched by God because we pray. And when we pray, and when we offer ourselves to him because we just don't have it. Besides the prayer meeting, we also started to gather around God's word every other Sunday, and we also share a meal together. And while the adults study the Word, the kids also have their Sunday school and learn about God's love for them and for this world. And God also led us to be generous and bless people in our community where they face a need, and also to be involved in God's mission around the world. Mind you, again, we are just regular Christians. We have jobs, we're students. But I'm amazed how, as a small community, we have been able to support God's work and several missionaries in Southern Africa, Southeast Asia, Northwest China, and Mexico, and a few other places here and there with one-time supports. And most, actually, amazing thing, most of the people who have gone to those places have come from within our community. Also, every summer, we partner with an amazing ministry called Kidscapers. And we run together a week-long camp with 40 to 50 kids from our neighborhood. And this has been a tremendous way to build ongoing, lasting relationships of trust with the families in our neighborhood. They know that we live there. It's just so much less in the way of, you know, the relationship. And it's amazing to see kids go from year to year to year, and they graduate out of the camp, become volunteers, and then the family coming to us say, "Oh, I want my son to volunteer next year." So it's been just an amazing, amazing a way to be present in the neighborhood. And one of the most heartwarming words to hear from some of the campers is that this week of camp is the most anticipated week of their year. I don't think we're doing anything special, but God is there. God is working, and God has placed us there and surrounded us with great ministries like Kidscapers, other churches that are just embracing us in this. So now this is a snapshot of what it is like in our neighborhood. But we're also blessed to see this move of God spread across Canada and even across the world. When I first heard about Move-In, I said it was a simple way. It attracted me right away because I wanted to be part of God's work. A little bit later, a fellow that I mentioned to you, a business guy, his name is Nigel, he wanted to do a conference to just share the simple word simple vision to other people. And we were hoping to see maybe like, I don't know, 50, 100 people get together. But we were doing everything we can to spread the word out, to say, hey, come, hear about this new thing, which actually isn't a thing yet, but please come and hear about it because God might be in it. And then in May 2009, we had a conference and about 700 people came. We were a bit blown away. So we're like, okay, God, well, we just want to, you know, cast that vision and see that there's the church of God. And then there's a need in this world and even in our city. Please help us connect the two. So that was amazing. And I told you about my team where we live in Teesdale, about really 10-minute drive from here. But seven other teams of regular Christians did the same in other parts of Toronto and Ottawa that same year, 2009. And now it's been many years since then, right? More than 8 years. And there are now 79 teams that we know of praying and loving on their neighbors. And a total of about 400, we call them move-inners, doing this in 30 different cities and across 11 countries. I'm really honored to have friends living in the slums of some of the mega cities in Philippines and Indonesia. And they're asking the same questions. And together with God's people there, they're seeking His kingdom for the transformation of the lives and the communities. And to put a little more formally, our vision, if we go to the next slide, is to see thousands of Christians, regular Christians, prayerfully moving in among the unreached urban poor globally. As I mentioned, our neighborhood is an unlikely one because not many people would intentionally want to live there. It is low income and high needs, as some may put it. But so was our world when Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom. God's beloved had His Father's favor rest on Him, and He still came. And He became friend of sinners, friend with the poor, friend with the marginalized. He has recovered sight. He healed the cripple. He set the demon-oppressed free. And He went all the way to the cross so that this proclamation of the kingdom would not be just in words. And of course, it was not the end. There was after the cross, there was a resurrection, which is so key. In our study in our neighborhood, we're going through the Gospel of Mark, and we're in about chapter 14, where there's the Last Supper, there's the Gethsemane, and Jesus is going to the cross. It's kind of amazing to see how every time Jesus would tell His disciples, hey guys, they're going to take me, they're going to beat me, they're going to crucify me, I'm going to die. But I will rise on the third day. Every time Jesus would say that, He'd say, oh, don't worry about it, it's not going to happen to you. Well, other times they're like confused, like, what is He talking about? When that happened, Jesus went to the cross. Everybody left Him. He even said that, actually, guys, all of you are going to leave me. I'm still going because this is Father's goodwill, that I go and I lay down my life for all of you, but I will rise. And in it will be the power for your lives. I will be part of your lives through my Holy Spirit. And now, 2,000 years later, Jesus still wants to see His body. Just like then, physically, His body was walking and going to the most unlikely places, to the Gentiles, to the poor, hanging out with tax collectors. In the same way, He wants this, His body, right now, to go and be present in the broken places of our world. I have a confession to make. I often think that I go when I go, just like Jesus sends us, right? When we all of us go, but for me especially, when I go to bring Jesus to those places and to the people. As if he can just kind of easily fit in my pocket, I'm just going to bring him. But time and again, in his gentle way, God has shown me that he's just way too big for my pockets. On one hand, it is very true. God's Spirit indwells us. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He is within us. But isn't he so much greater than what we can know him in our experience? And also in his gentleness, he shows me that it is his world that I live in, not the other way around. And when I'm humble enough to receive this correction from God, I realize that I go to live among the poor and among the unreached to find him there. Not to bring him, but to find him there. And this happens in at least two important ways, I find. One has to do with us and him, and the second one has to do with us and his work. In the first one, God loves us so much, and it is, and he's most of all concerned with our relationship with him. He wants us to be free from any bondage, any lies, and to be more firmly established in our identity in him. So we find Jesus here for our lives. We get to know on a deeper level who he is, this loving king. And we also see more clearly who we are in him, his beloved children. So this is us and him, finding him. The second way we find him is in discerning his work in the lives of others. It is not my responsibility that people would discover Jesus and grow in him. God is at work in people's lives even before I showed up. Yet it is important that I do show up to find him there. I do have a role to play. You and I, we do have a role to play as we join him in the work that he is doing in the people's lives. So first, I'm established more deeply in my relationship with him when I go into the broken places. And the second, I get more connected with the work that he is doing in this world so that I may be more fully part of that. And another analogy that also helps me kind of understand that I don't go to bring Jesus in the broken, tough places in this world, people's lives. You probably know. People's lives are messy. My life is messy. When we get together, yes, when two or three, you know, gather in Jesus' name, he's there with them. But there's also politics, there's tension, all this. But God is there. So in the same way as we go to those places and to the people that are unlikely, that are maybe poor, unreached, marginalized, forgotten, in the same way when we go into the places of our hearts where we're not so lovable. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, I even don't want to go to God because like, God, you won't like this part of me here. This is exactly where he wants to be. This is exactly where he wants me to meet him. On this margin of myself even. To connect more deeply with him. And I like these two things because when Jesus came, he picked the most unfit people, yet gave them tremendous power, changed their lives. Yes, all of them left him at the cross. But he said, hey guys, I'm going to meet you in Galilee, okay? Just take my word for it. I'm going to meet you in Galilee after the cross and after I'm back to life. And then this boom, this tremendous work began, how he was indwelling and empowering people to go preach the good news, to heal people, to bring hope, and to see people coming into this kingdom of God. I want to finish with a with a story to highlight this a little bit, maybe. Ryan was one of my neighbors. And maybe if you go to the next slide. Actually, I didn't include that. It's supposed to be there, but just imagine there's Ryan instead of video there, okay? That's his name. Oh, sorry, we don't need the video yet. Thank you. Ryan was one of my neighbors. His mother and his two siblings came as refugees from Israel. Like many five-year-olds, he was into superheroes. So one day he was trying to imitate a superhero by jumping off the curb and, you know, pretending that he's gliding like a Superman maybe. So he kept doing it and doing it and doing it. Everything went fine. Until the moment when on his next jump, he fell down off, you know, and scraped his knees. He was so disappointed and tears were rolling down his cheeks. And then he sat down on the curb and after a little bit of sobbing, a little bit maybe of reflecting, he said, "I'm not a superhero. I am Ryan." And this is a five-year-old. You know, I find myself in that situation as a 33-year-old. But Jesus hasn't called a bunch of superheroes to be with him in his kingdom. It's actually the opposite. This way, all the power and all the glory rests with him. In a short minute, we're going to play this video, but I will just invite you to grab some resources at the table when you go to the fellowship hall, talk to any of us. But this is just a small snapshot of the work I'm part of, the amazing people I get to be in a team with, an amazing community to be part of. We show this video in our work. Specifically, Kate and I work to help others move in, help others to live out that vision wherever they are, be it in Canada or across the world. But what it shows is what move-inners do in some of those parts of the world, and I think this will encourage you. So we'll close with that.